Back around, Stopper, Suffolk County, 1-800-220-8477. That's where all calls are kept confidential. And a monetary reward of $5,000, sometimes more, issued for information that will lead to an arrest in a particular case or arrests. So Jack Lund, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College. He authors also The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide to Investigators. Joe, also a best-selling author, The Cold Case Handbook, not to mention the fact of a hit show on the YouTube channel regarding the Gilgo investigation. We'll start with that. Joe, also a highly decorated member of the NYPD back in the day, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor, the aforementioned Joe Jacqueline, the Sarge. And a good morning to you, sir. I hope you're about 100% now.
Good morning, Jay. Honestly, I'm about probably only not 90% still. I mean, still got this nagging cough. It just won't go away. And you go to the doctors and they just tell you, it takes time. Thanks, Doc.
I know. It's debilitating. Went through it. A lot of people have gone through it, obviously. Myself, I was suffering last night with an allergy attack, not to be believed, but such is the case. Making the call here on an early morning, we appreciate your contributions as always. Joe, let's, speaking of Gilgo and all the great work you're doing on YouTube with that, we'll get to that in a little while, but Rex Yerman with a court appearance and a request by his defense attorney, Sarge, the fact of wanting to see files from back in the day with the FBI all concerning our good old pal, Jimmy Burke. What'd you make out of that?
Yeah, it was only a matter of time before I think they kind of went towards that way. So, I mean, you could see his attorney is Michael Brown. I keep on wanting to call him James Brown. Michael Brown, he's attacking the investigation and the police and not the evidence, which is just mounting up, which tells you all you need to know about is planned defense. I mean, this is not something that's unusual or new. This is something that happens in a lot of cases, specifically when there's going to be a ton of forensic evidence in regards to your client. So I don't see this as anything to be concerned about. And I think it was just it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, as I stated yesterday, Joe, listen, if you're defending Yerman, who has a million pieces of evidence against him, I mean, you go with the DNA stuff, the pizza crust, the coffee cup, the car, I mean, you go left and right here. They're trying to find one little caveat here. And we all know you and I have followed this thing since the get-go and covering this over 10 years. But in essence, we all know that Jimmy's participation into that region is nothing new. You know, the whole thing with Ms. Rickenbacker, who's not with us anymore, the situation of dismissing individuals from this investigation led to the demise of then the police commissioner, Mr. Dormer. I mean, you go left and right here as far as all that went on. But the fact of the matter is that they want to see some situations involved from years back. And if it means putting in that one shadow of doubt into the mindset of a potential juror, they're going to utilize it. And quite frankly, I don't think it was a bad maneuver on their part at all.
No, I mean, you don't hate the player. You hate the game. I mean, it's just he's doing what he's trying to do. He's trying to give his client the best defense as possible. And, you know, people find this distasteful and stuff like that. I understand that, but this is all par for the course. I don't think that, he's doing anything that is underhanded or what. I mean, it's just a natural progression. And when you pick on a guy like James Burke, who was speculated and rumored about being maybe involved in these killings, right? They want to be able to do that. But the interesting part, it came up again. If you remember, about a month or two ago, the attorney, Michael Brown, had brought up the fact that there was another suspect that they were looking to make an arrest on, and then District Attorney Tim Sini wanted to move on him. Yeah. And now he gave initials for that, right? And he's saying that this guy was an ex-police officer with the same initials as the belt. So that that is the only little interesting tidbit that came out of it, because nothing came out of his actual court appearance. It was actually brief, from what we're told, and he was on his way. And then this presser comes on later on between him and then the district attorney. So, listen, not only is the DNA evidence mounting up, Jay, on this guy, but the forensic evidence. I mean, the district attorney reported 422, I think it was, digital devices that they were that they recovered. And that could be, of course, we know cell phones and old phones, maybe, and tablets. And, you know, it also could be things like thumb drives and hard drives and those kind of things, because 422, he said, devices. So we're not talking about, excuse me, just pieces of evidence. We're talking about physical things here. So he didn't lead on to what those devices were, but that's, you know, the electronic evidence is going to be huge. The cell phone ring, the digital evidence. Oh, my God. This is like, it's just building up.
Yeah, the burner phones and everything else involved. You know, listen, Ray Tanney and his crew, they've got Mount Vesuvius as far as the evidence is concerned. And again, if you're Michael J. Brown, you have to try and find something here to at least be part of your plan in trying to help your client. So we'll await and see as far as the next steps are concerned. Slow and steady, Joe, is this type of investigation, making sure all I's are dotted and T's crossed if you're Ray Tanney. The great DA as far as Suffolk County is concerned. So a wait-and-see approach with the sergeant, Joe Jacklin. Joe, it could have been a lot worse, but there was a police officer in Suffolk who was investigating a drunken driving crash early yesterday in the Dix Hills area. And he was injured when a second alleged drunken driver had hit him. Unbelievable as it sounds, stopped the car, went back into his patrol car, gathering some information, and he himself was hit by a second driver. You know, it kind of correlated a little bit. Thank goodness this turned out all right, you know, with the Sakos case. Anastasio Sakos, who was killed by a drunken driver, Jessica Bavay, we know, off the LIE a couple of years ago. But in essence, could have been a lot worse, and these, I'll tell you, is not safe out there.
No, and we've also learned through the years, right, that the lights on the police cars tend to attract drunk drivers, and we've seen numerous crashes across the country, right? So they've tried different lights and colors and stuff like that, but I think they need to go back to the drawing board because it's still happening. And you know, it's a dangerous game, especially when it was raining out, right? So the roads were slick too. On top of that, so they need to study that and figure out what the colors or what the issue is in regards to that, because it just seems to happen way too often. We hope that the officer has a speedy recovery.
You're right. Excellent point with the flashing lights. Who knows, some sort of an attraction, you know, almost like bees to honey kind of. But man, this could have been a lot worse. And it turned out okay. The Sarge with us as far as crime report is concerned. Joe, I don't want to ever lure you into the political landscape, but man, I'll tell you, you know, they got a budget that they still haven't passed up in Albany. 3 weeks later, it'll be. And they have maybe the parameters of something. But, you know, I keep bringing up to the lawmakers that we have on this program, where's anything about criminal justice reform? I mean, it's unbelievable. After the murder of police officer Jonathan Diller from last month in Far Rockaway, you would think they would kind of tighten up the noose somewhat regarding either a judge being able to make a sensible decision, being able to surmise if somebody is dangerous or not to put back into society. Just something. Give us something here. Let us know that you care. My goodness, it just drives me up a wall that I don't think anything will be in there. I've had several individuals on this program saying they're not happy about it. I don't know if they're going to vote on it. But the beat goes on regarding this, sir.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you saw the article in the Post about, you know, Senator Hastie's, his district in the Bronx is a mess.
An absolute mess.
I'm sure that the Post is seeing that this was well received, and I'm sure they're doing a whole bunch of others So the issue that comes down to is this is a big election season coming up in November. It may be, you know, if you're looking at the politics part of it, maybe it's a little too early to make a change because people won't remember by November. Hey, look at that. That rhymes. But yeah. I think that something will come out by November to put people's mind at ease. But unfortunately, it's just going to be business as usual. You know, Carl Hasty kind of caved in a little bit and made the punishments for retail theft a little bit more. But, you know, it really doesn't matter when you have district attorneys who won't prosecute anything. Yeah. So it's just all around joke. And, I mean, I was in the city all day yesterday. I took the subway. Actually, you know, it was pretty calm. There wasn't anything going on, but I did take it during the middle of the day. But, you know, everything seemed to be okay. I did see a lot of cops on the platforms. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I saw a lot of cops on the platform. Like, every platform you got out, there were cops. So I think they're understanding that if they can't get this crime under control in the subway, that the city's really lost.
Joe, did you see an assemblance of the National Guard there that was deployed by the governor in the subway? Did you take the subways? Did you notice any changes there?
No, I was in 57th Street too. I was in Columbus Circle, and right. Then I went on the D line, which takes you down through Rockefeller Center and down to 36th Street. I did that whole route, but there were cops on every platform, even platforms that. I remember back in the day that you wouldn't see cops, so they definitely have flooded the subway.
No doubt about it. So, they're out there, no question about it. But it's like Joe was stating, without humming a few bars of Remember in November, he's right. The only way to get change is to change hands as far as these posts are concerned. Will it happen? We talk about this every year. More than likely it won't, folks, to be honest with you. But there's some serious stuff going on. Joe, I'll end it with this. How about the fact that there was a shooting that went on in the town of Corum, okay? Town of Corum, there was a shooting that occurred, and a guy apparently was saved by his wallet. I kid you not. I'm sure you read the story where a guy's lucky to have not been hurt after that shooting. It happened Wednesday morning. Suspect fired several shots into a car outside of an apartment complex. It was before 11 o'clock in the morning, by the way. The bullet hit the guy, but became lodged in his wallet, saving him from injury. No one's been arrested yet in the shooting. Talk about a Capital One commercial. What's in your wallet, Joe? How about a 38 caliber? I mean, unbelievable. But that was the case. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I haven't seen anything like that, but we've seen it in the movies, right, where the guy gets saved by, like, a flask or, a metal eyeglass case or something like that. He was fortunate. But you know what? I do remember there was a police officer in New York City that shot, and the bullet lodged in his gun belt and got stuck by the buckle.
So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, luck sometimes is, plays a role in this. He was fortunate for that, but like everything else, who was responsible for it and if they got to do it again is the question, and why was this guy targeted? Those are the investigations that are taking place right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ongoing it is with the Sarge. Joe Jacklin has got so many things going on. He's got a great book that came out a little over a year ago called The Cold Case Handbook. Just a phenomenal book as far as investigations and everything else kind of leads into what he's doing right now on YouTube with Gilgo investigation, ongoing viewership intensifies all the time weekly. Joe, give us a sense what's happening with that.
Yeah, the channel's still growing. The other day we covered the case of Andre Isaac, also known as Sugar Bear. His name has been mentioned back in the news as being a potential victim of Long Island serial killer. And he was dismembered. His body parts were found all over, including, if you remember this came back, this was back in 2003, I think it was, right when, Jessica Taylor and up in Manorville and Valerie Mack, and his head was found in the Mariches, his torso was found in the Mariches, and his His other body parts were found in East Rockaway, Queens. And there was just now the Long Island Press covered his case again as this heating up. And the reason why is because there was a hidden page on the Gilgo News Suffolk County website, and it had his name as the victims of Long Island serial killer. I don't know if you caught this one. And you can't find it directly from the page. You have to go through, you know, if you do a Google search and you just type in Andre Isaac Gilgo, you can find the page. But other than that, if you're on the website, Suffolk County's website, you can't find it. It's hidden.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So this is now surfaced, and apparently they had asked Suffolk County, and they said, oh, it's just a practice page. It was something that, we were just, testing out the page or something like that.
No.
But, I'm not buying that, but I think it's kind of interesting in that respect. But apparently it's been up there for quite a while. So,
interesting.
The Long Island Press did a good job on uncovering that. And then, of course, I took it another step further, and I ran. And then, yes, and I could find the page. And I'll send you a screenshot.
Give me a shot of that. You can take a look. Let's see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. I'll send the screenshot.
Awesome. Good job, Joe. Excellent job. A quick recap. Everything okay last week in the Hamptons with the crime show and everything else? How'd that go for you?
Oh, yeah. It was excellent. They nearly doubled their audience from last year. They're already making big plans for next year. They said they're going to take a couple of weeks off. They brought me on as a true crime consultant, so I'm going to be sitting down with those ladies and the mayor and everybody else that's involved, and we're going to plan another great festival for next year. It's going to be mostly true crime, and it's going to be a lot of fun. This year they had active crime scenes. They had a crime scene thing for the kids. So we're trying to make it all inclusive for everybody, especially the kids, and to come out there and learn and do some things and do fingerprints and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Listen, getting everybody involved, all age groups, it's definitely an education, well needed too. The Sarge Joe Jacklin, all he does as far as the Gilgo investigation with his hit show on YouTube, look for it under the Sarge Joe Jacklin, Jicalone, and of course a best-selling author as far as the cold case handbook, and look for his investigative function, A Guide for New Investigators. Continuing to soar as well with great information. Joe, you continue on the mend. Okay, let's get you 100% by next Friday. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Sounds great. I'm going to send you that text now.